everybody. I'm Ann Hofferberth, and welcome to Beyond Addiction, brought to you by Gulf Breeze Recovery. And today, I'm speaking with Heather, who's the admissions director at Gulf Breeze Recovery, and most likely one of the people you speak to when you call. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Would you tell everyone that's listening what you do as the admissions director?
Okay, so I answer calls. I am there when people come in. I meet them at the facility. I think that's something that you don't see very often anymore. There are often people offsite who the process is less personal and less human. That's what I've been told by people I've spoken to who have been to other treatment centers. So I'm there when the people come in, and I found that often when they walk in, they'll hug me or they will say, "I'm so glad to meet you." And I really just love that. I think when people come in, it's so scary and they're so vulnerable and they don't know anyone. And their entire life is changing right in that moment. And so I do think, you know, it's important to have someone there to welcome them and help them feel comfortable.
That I agree. I think that's very nice, because some people call for something. It took a lot of guts to make the call, number one. Yeah. And then they get into a call center and they're not really talking to anyone at the facility. But that's not the case where you are. They are talking to a real person who's going to welcome there. And then there's something else that's special about you, and that is that you've been through this. Tell a little story about what your battle was with addiction.
Well, I was put on some pain pills after the birth of my son, my first child, and I didn't even realize at the time what was being kind of unleashed. All I know is when I first took that first pain pill, it was amazing. It was a great feeling. I felt like I was floating. I loved it. And I didn't even understand at the time what that was going to mean. But it started a decades long struggle with opiates. And I ended up using heroin. Out of desperation, could not get any more prescriptions. And so I ended up addicted to heroin as a military wife and a mother of two kids. It was humbling. It was a humbling experience.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And so when you came through all that, what was it about Gulf Breeze Recovery that you decided I belong here?
Well, I wouldn't have even known about Gulf Breeze Recovery if it weren't for my friend who was an alumni and ended up working there in admissions. And so I experienced her metamorphosis with Gulf Breeze Recovery. I watched her change. And so I just remember, it was probably 7 years ago, if not eight, that I was watching her go through this. And I remember this thought came into my mind, you know, you could do that. You could do that. And I remember thinking, no, you couldn't. What? You know, you have this in your life. You've done this and that. These are all these reasons you can't ever do something like that. But what I remember also in the deepest moments of my addiction, I remember being on the bathroom floor and with a bunch of needles all around me and thinking and saying, I cannot do this anymore. And I would honestly be better off if I was dead. And I literally prayed to die. And I remember saying, I just want to make a difference in this world, however that looks. I don't care. I just want to be of use, of service, an asset to the people I come in contact with, as well as my family, because I felt like I had failed them so miserably at that time. And This happened. It just happened. I graduated from nursing school, and I wasn't completely sure if I wanted to go work in a hospital, because I went to nursing school during the pandemic, and it was a roller coaster ride. And I saw some things that really triggered some existentialism and some serious questions about ethics and just everything. And so I just kind of, me and Kat, we talked, and it just happened. I just ended up at GBR, and it felt right. It felt safe. It felt okay to be who I am. And I just think that's beautiful. I think, you know, most of us in addiction have spent all those years feeling weird, feeling like a misfit, feeling like an outcast. And I don't feel that way there. So, yeah.
Thanks, Heather. It's very nice, very, very nice of you to share all of that, because I'm sure people watching have those same feelings and experiences. So tell me, how long have you been sober?
7 years. 7 years. Yeah. And there was a time when I didn't believe it was possible. There was just no way that I could live without some kind of substance. And it's happening every day. So, yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That there's a whole other life for you.
Yeah.
Well, you went to other rehabs, and I've always thought that coming in for detox has to be very scary. And I know you do a much, much careful, thoughtful job at GBR. Can you talk about maybe a detox experience you've had and what's done at GBR that's different?
Well, what I can remember is the last time I went into treatment, I was probably at my lowest. And I, again, you know, I've said this, I just felt like a failure. I felt like I'd failed my family. There was just no redemption for me possible in my mind. And I remember one of the ladies checking me in looked at me, and this is, I'm in my head at this point, and I'm thinking, wow, you're such a loser. Like, there's just nobody lower than you. And this lady, she's all put together. She has her makeup done. Her hair, it looks nice, all perfectly in place. She's dressed professionally. And she looks at me out of nowhere, and she says, you know, there was a time when I woke up in the morning and I worried about whether there were pieces of vomit in my hair before I went to work. And I get chills every time I tell this story, because I needed to hear that in that moment. This woman who's completely put together, and she's offering me compassion and a piece of herself, a vulnerable piece of herself. So that's what I give people, because I want them to know that no matter how they feel, there is hope always. I know it. And there was a time when I truly did not believe that. So when they come into detox, I'm there, the nurse is there, and the nurse they'll sit in the assessment chair, and the nurse takes vitals and asks some questions, and usually gives them a Gatorade to get the electrolytes going, because the detox process can be hard on the body. And then after she's done with her assessment, I take them back into the office, and we sign paperwork, and we usually have a talk there about what everything's going to look like in the future, because often the first 2 weeks are the hardest. It's a huge adjustment. You don't know anybody. And so I'm there. I come in and check on them in the next few days, and I let them know that, like, my goal is to help them feel comfortable as they adjust to the staff, the new staff. And then kind of like I'm the training wheels, I kind of fall off, and there they go into the rest of their journey. And then I just sit back and watch them grow and change. And it's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you realize that you're that woman for so many people? Yeah. They can look at you and say, well, if she can do it, it's possible. Yeah. It's not impossible. It can be done. And you need to know that.
Yes.
When you're getting help. Now, after they go to detox and they're fine and they've got their body back and their mind is working again, what happens? Where do they go then?
Well, truthfully, often, not always, this is not a hard rule, but often the idea springs out, oh my goodness, I feel so good. I've got this. This is good. And often maybe 3-4 weeks in, we see people say, I'm good. I'm ready to go. I think I've learned everything that I can here. And we always say, no. Don't believe that. That's not true. You're just feeling better, which is great. But you have to stay and you know, trust the process for the rest of the journey to unfold. Also, though, that's the mind clearing up. And that's what we say. The clarity starts to come back. And, you know, with it, the ego and that sense of, you know, I'm good. I feel great. I've never felt this great. I haven't felt this great in years. I don't even want to drink, or I don't even want to, you know, whatever. And then, you know, we've, you know, seen many times that's, you know, many times when people leave and can possibly. And so we try to, I try to discuss that actually during the admissions process and just say, hey, listen, this, you know, you're going to get to feeling better. Remember, you got to stick this out because it's going to be up and down, and you got to follow it through. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, because Barnett, who is the CEO at GBR, often tells me that you give the most therapy hours of any facility. Mm-hmm. And so when they leave, they've lost all that one-on-one and group therapy that for some reason is the most powerful at giving you an insight. Talk about that.
Well, I wish I had had access to the type of services that GBR offers way earlier in my life. I think that things would have went differently because of the therapy. Often, I mean, I don't know the exact statistics, but it's pretty high up in the 90s. That most people who are substance abusers, you know, addicted, have some kind of trauma in their background. And so that one-on-one therapy, you know, over 8 weeks equals out to 14 to 16 individual sessions, one-on-one, where that stuff is processed. And so that allows a different perspective and relationship with it for the person in relation to their life experience. It allows them to see it differently. And that is a gift. And also the insights that come along, which, you know, I've had mine too. I've had quite a few over the last 7 years. But the most profound insights have been about really deep wounds and scars. And so I think that it's the therapy that triggers that the most, honestly.
Yeah. And how nice, you've been burying this feeling, this trauma, this, you're trying to get rid of it. So you're burying it and not letting it go. And they give you the ability to finally look at it and realize, that's not me. I can let this go. Yeah. I don't need it. That's a freedom. So tell me what your life is like now that you've been 7 years sober. What's massively different for you?
You know, I've thought about that question a lot, honestly. Everything and nothing. I think the biggest lesson, and I've talked about this on the phone with guests before they come in, we get into long conversations. That's something that is very unique, I think, not only to my style, but also GBR's. It's the way I was trained. We just talk like humans. And so I learned that I had all these expectations on what life was supposed to be. Many of them instilled in childhood by just, you know, my culture, society, my parents. And it's just not like, it's just so much was not what I expected. So what I've realized is that life can be pretty boring and monotonous. Sometimes it cannot, you know, it can be unhappy. We are not, I don't think, meant to be on a high dopamine, endorphin kind of just extreme high all the time. Life is bumpy. There are ups and downs. Sometimes it's boring. And that has been the biggest lesson I've learned, that it's okay to like be bored. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. It's okay. And it will pass. It'll level out. And then some joy will come along. And so life is really normal. and I don't numb myself. So I just experience it without any anesthesia. I always make that joke. I'm numb. Like, I'm not numb anymore. I'm going through life just totally, yeah.
Yeah, you're actually there 100%. And what's the best thing about that? What's the thing that you look at and think, wow, this is the best?
Honestly, being present, really, for the ups and downs, the fear of, like, walking through fear, not disconnecting mentally from things, and just kind of experiencing that and realizing and knowing it's not going to kill me. Because I think that most of my life, I had some very, when I felt things, I felt them very strongly, whatever they were. And I didn't understand that. I don't know. I still don't completely, but I was trying to escape that my entire life. And that's when, I mean, I started using substances at 13, drinking. And so I was just trying to escape whatever that was. And the process of just sitting through life, I taught me and showed me that it's not gonna kill me, and it's a gift. Yeah.
Right. And now you can just be with yourself and not be uncomfortable with yourself.
Right. Yep.
You know, you always had to fill a space before.
Right. Right. No, I have conversations with myself all the time that are actually so much more compassionate than ever. And it's just like, hey, it's okay. It's okay. I don't know. I have talks with myself in my head often that are loving. They're just more loving. They're more compassionate. They're more forgiving. And I learned that actually from a therapist at Gulf Breeze Recovery. She tells me compassionate curiosity, because sometimes when we do things or say things, you know, there's that shame cycle that comes in and you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And she says, be compassionately curious and find out, you know, what part of you felt that, you know what I mean? That was what you needed to say or do in that moment. And so I learn about myself that way, instead of just shutting down and saying, ew, I don't like that. It's bad. I get to learn and then hopefully have a different relationship with that part of myself, which lessens the shame and all of that. So.
Right. I remember when I gave up smoking, that was and the freedom I had, that I didn't have to run back to the house and get the cigarettes and the lighter, and I could get on the phone without a cigarette. And I have to figure that it's minor compared to what you were going through, but I can't imagine getting up every morning and all you think about is getting what you need to stay the way you are.
Yep. I remember writing about it. I'm sure most people have seen Lord of the Rings, the Gollum creature in there. And we remember how he had a normal life. He was a normal human person, and he became that monster looking for his precious all the time. And I remember thinking of that and feeling like that's what I turned into. Also feeling like a passenger in my life. And there was just somebody else driving, and I was in the passenger seat, like screaming and holding on, like, no, stop. And then, but we didn't. And your family's around, like, why are you like this? What's wrong with you? And you're just like, I know, but I can't stop. And, yeah, that's, yep. I've experienced that a lot.
The other thing that I think people would like to hear is what would you say to someone who's looking for help and a rehab? What would you say about Gulf Breeze that would be important to them?
What I say is Gulf Breeze Recovery is very unique in the industry, and it was intentionally designed to be unique in the industry. And I think that makes it a treasure. And I think that if they're looking for a lasting, sustainable change, they can find it at Gulf Breeze Recovery. Absolutely. And I always tell them, really, all you have to do is show up and be brave. and just stick it out. Because if you do that, your life will change. And yeah. I know that. I've seen it. Yeah.
If you can trust the process.
Yes. Yep. Very Which good. Is so hard.
Yeah. All right. What do you want? This is your chance. What do you want the listener to make sure and know when they watching this? What do you want to make sure the person watching this knows more than anything?
Oh, we do recover. And it's never as hopeless as you think it is. And that comes from someone who once believed, you know, all hope and redemption was lost. So I know differently. And I there aren't a lot of words to say it when you know it.
Yeah, because so often the people you're talking to have been to multiple rehabs and here they are again. So they're, you know, what's going to work this time, right?
What's going to be different this time? I hear that all the time. Our entire approach is just different. That length of stay, amount of treatment hours, the least restrictive environment. We want people to feel like a human being, you know, not a number, not a chart, you know, not a bad mistake, you know. So we are different. I know that. Yeah.
Well, Heather, that was wonderful. And I want to thank you. And I think you have enough that you may do this again because you have so much to share. I really appreciate your sharing that with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Take care.